Romans chapter 8. I'm glad you came this morning. I know that it was a little cold, a little slippery, but bless God you're here in the house. It's warm inside. You're going to be spiritually filled, and there's a blessing upon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mentioned to the first service, we have some of these change jars up here. If you don't have one, grab one. We all have change. I said we all have change. Amen. Fill it up. Bring it in. This goes towards the building fund. And throughout the year, say in 12 months, between the jars that are here, there's an almost, not quite, but almost enough to pay for one of the mortgage payments on our payment for our building. How many of that matters? That means we're only cover 11 because change has covered one of them. So it matters. So grab one. My wife and I do the same thing. We fill one up, we bring it in. Amen? Want one, brother? Amen. Would, do you have a mason jar? Would you buy one? Would you get one? Bring in a mason jar. Brother, these aren't big enough for my brother here. Amen? That's flat awesome. You can bring in a mason jar. You can bring a bucket. In fact, you can even bring a wheelbarrow in, bless God. We'll park the wheelbarrow at the altar. Hallelujah. So be mindful of that. I love it. I love challenges like that. Ain't big enough. I think that's flat awesome. You're absolutely right, brother. Amen. Romans chapter 8, are you there? I'm going to continue on this purity series like Pastor Mark mentioned. And also want to mention the nursing home ministry went awesome this week. Thank you, folks, that there was a double duty on that part, that people went there downtown and also local here. They said a couple of the attendants pushed more in there, so there was more people to minister to. So thank you, church, across the board. Weather didn't stop people from reaching out. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Wherefore, it says this, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will what? What does the word say there? I mean, I think that's pretty serious. But by the Spirit, if you put to death the deeds of the flesh or the body, you will live. In Colossians 3, verse 5 says, wherefore, put to death in your members fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, even though you once yourself walked and lived in them. In Galatians 6:8, it says, if we sow to the flesh, of the flesh we reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit we reap life. Now, as you're reading in that scripture, in Romans, it says this. It says, we're not debtors to the flesh, but to the Spirit. I believe personally that if you sow to the flesh, how many of those of the flesh you reap corruption? All of us need to look at this area and say it's in great importance that as believers we sow in that direction of the Spirit. Now before we were saved, we did our own thing. We lived according to our own ways. But truly what we were doing was sowing death in our lives. How many of those partying hard for a long time, you start to feel it when you get older. Say amen. How many of those is a consequence of those areas? And dare I say, if you continued all your life probably is cut a little shorter than normal. Everybody say amen. Amen. And when you got saved, you only gave up what was killing you anyways. Amen? Amen. To kill your flesh or your sin, we need to remember our obligation. Our obligation is not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. In Romans 8, verse 12, wherefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Listen, you owe it to yourself and mostly to the Lord not to live according to the flesh. Now, how many of us, there are certain obligations that we all have in life? Say amen. Amen. If you want heat in your home, generally you have to pay the heat bill. Would you say amen? Amen. You want lights, there's obligations there. Well, how about the greatest obligation in the world, you? We have an obligation not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Like you came this morning, and I understand it's hard getting out, it's slippery. I understand. I thank God you're here this morning. Amen. This is the first dose of winter we have, but you came. Amen. I know some people had a hard time starting their vehicles. When it gets down to zeros, it turns over hard. I understand that. But you've made a point to say, my spirit man matters. So you're making an obligation to that area. To kill off that sin area, we also need to do that. It's more than discipline. It's putting discipline and obligation together. It's saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. Sometimes we can talk ourselves out so easily. In Romans 8, look at verse 13, verse part. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. The literal Greek means says, you're about to die. If our sin is unchecked, it leads to eternal death. In Romans 8, verse 6, if you look back a few verses, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I shared with the first service last night, I talked to my wife and, hey, let's go to bed a little early today, all right? So at 8 o'clock, we were in bed, ready to sleep. Well, there's a problem when you go to bed early. Anybody know what it is? You get up early. So at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, we're both wide awake. Wide awake. So I remember going, you know what? I'm looking at her, we're wide awake. Well, you know what? When you're wide awake, it's hard to go back to sleep. Well, we know service isn't for a few hours, so we're like, you know what? How about let's put some word on? So we put some word of God on. The word of God was going off in the bedroom, hearing the word of God. How many of us, we took advantage of the situation and sowed in the spirit, not to the flesh? How many of us, we can take advantage of that when we're driving our car somewhere? We got 24 hours, we'll never get any more. But when I look at all the 24 hours that had already been expended, how many of those I could have been a little more refined about? I can't go back, but you know what? I can start now and be better. Listen, if some areas of your life have been zapped up or the worms have ate, it's time to start something new. You can start today. My obligation is not to the flesh, but to the spirit. If I mind the things of the flesh, listen to me, there's destruction and decay. Today, my spirit man received the word of Almighty God. How many of us, that's important? And here's another truth. This body is not going with you to your next phase. This body is earthy. I mean, one day we'll get a heavenly body likened unto Christ. This body wouldn't survive if you went up to the top of our atmosphere. We'd lose enough oxygen. This is a limitation body. This is my Adam body. But one day I'm going to have to get a body likened unto Christ. Hallelujah. That whatever I have there, and then I'll remove all the limitations. Isn't that awesome? You win. But if I follow the dictates of the flesh, there's only corruption. And please, please hear this. Don't go back to the world. It's just as lost as when you left it. And you'll never fit into the world because you're different. You're born again. You have the Spirit of God in you. I've recognized this. The more I serve the Lord, the more my spirit and my flesh is like there's a battle going on. And whatever I mind, that's what I follow. And temptations like this, it's like a lure. It's like it's out there. And if you're fleshly, you'll go, amen? And it always ensnares you in the net. But if you start to rid yourself, you know what? No. When fish are not hungry, you can dangle it right before their nose and they're not biting. Lord, let me be like, Lord, I want to live my life like Jesus did. Satan could find nothing in him, so he had to leave. Now, I know I have limitations. I'm not to that level, but I want to have that type of level. Amen? And I can walk through this and say, no, I don't want that. Amen? Come on, say amen. It's so important that we look in this area in Colossians 3, verse 5 through 8. Wherefore, put to death in your members on this earth fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. These areas are real clean. All of us have fleshly things we must deal with. I don't care how long you've been saved, we have fleshly things to deal with. Now, certain things may not be a temptation to you, they may be to me, and likewise. But we have all common temptations. At the end of the month, on the 27th, I believe it's Sunday, at 6 o'clock, I'm going to have a couple of trash cans up here. If there's something in your life, you can just jot it down. I'm dealing with this. I'm not going to read them. I'm not going to go through them. I'm going to throw them away. If there's something displeasing in your life that you know this is holding you back, it's time to bring it in. Say amen. If your computer is holding you back, bring it in. If it's a vice in your life that you can't beat, bring it in. Come on. We have to be serious about it. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's anger. There's got to be something that God's cleaning out in your life. I want us to be a church. If we want more power, there must be more purity. I said there must be more purity. Sin is not neutral and it's not fair. It's always working death and corruption. But how much more life in me? Every time I read the Word of God, I am energizing my life with life. Even if I don't see it happening at the moment, it's happening. Now, has anybody here ever planted anything and it grew? Okay? How many here you have a, like, you don't have a green thumb, you could kill a cactus? My wife is like that. Say amen. It's not a knock. She kills a cactus, all right? But the truth is that if it's in the pot, it's got enough sun, it's got enough water, it's got all the nutrients, tenderly it will grow. And generally, if the picture, and somebody hasn't changed the little placards in there, if it's this picture, it probably will turn out that way. Well, here's what Jesus said. If my spirit is in you, my word is in you, you'll turn out like me one day. Your model picture is Jesus. I want to be like him. When I realize I still got some areas to work on, Lord, help me in this area. Christians should be Christ-like. It's a privilege to be a Christian. I don't like it when Christians bow down and say, I'm proud to be a Christian. Man, I'm on my way to heaven. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. That's the greatest victory ever. Say amen. Look at Romans 8, verse 13, second part. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The process is there. We know you reap and you sow. Well, if you sow to the Spirit, man, you got life. Every time I pray for somebody, life is flowing. Every time I speak in the Spirit, life is flowing. Every time I read the Word of God, life is flowing. I have that power within me. Every time I sin, I bring more corruption. Come on. I bring more decay. I bring more. And the fact of the matter is, it not only affects me, it affects everybody else. Aren't we part of the body? Yes or no? We need to put to death those areas by the Spirit. That doesn't mean that, listen to me, this flesh isn't around. You'll have this flesh until one day you're gone from this flesh. But it doesn't have to dominate. Amen? You know, Jesus had the same flesh that I did. Yet he didn't sin. Praise God for that. Every single person other than Jesus has sinned. That means we have one thing in common in heaven. You've sinned and you became righteous. Isn't that cool? It's going to bind us together throughout eternity. We were once lost and now we're found. Each dispensation had their own grace upon. They used to look towards the cross. They had the sacrifices. We look back at the cross. Everything has been centered on Christ throughout eternity. They all had the hope that one day he would come. We look back, he's came for us. Hallelujah. But each one, God said there was grace upon. He accepted those things. But it's no longer the blood of bulls and goats. It's the precious blood of Christ. And here's another fact. Israel in the Old Testament was the type of the church too. That did you know, even in history, they know it's recorded when they came out of Egypt that God destroyed them in the flood. That's recorded in history. That every nation would fear the Lord. That there was no God like the God of the Israelites. That was a witness to every nation. And every nation had an opportunity to serve that God. Say amen. Just look up the history of Esther. Hello? God crossed over things. Come on. I mean, God has a way. So the witness of Christ was still in the Old Testament in the known world. Even in Noah's day, Noah preached righteousness for 100 years before the flood came. Noah was a type in that area. The ark was a type of the church. Every generation will be held accountable for the gospel that was preached during that time. How much more this time? That this generation that we live in now is more accountable than every other generation there is. Come on. It's not a light thing, but isn't it amazing that the church isn't as powerful as it should be? Come on. By now, the church should be unbelievably rocking, shouldn't it? We've had all these years of great preaching with churches on every corner. So the problem isn't the Word of God. Is this too hard for everyone? You came today, I'm going to speak it today. We have to start looking. You know what? The Lord wants us to have purity. He wants us to have power and to reach the people. I want this to get down in your spirit that you're able to speak that. Tiger Whitehead, he came up to me, he goes, you know what? I'm governing my life. God spoke a word to me. I need more purity. I need more power. And the Lord wants me to reach more people. I mean, that's part of it. This aren't just some nice little slogans, you guys. This was bathed in prayer that I heard from the King. That if we walk in this more than, how many want to be more like Christ? I can make you a guarantee. If you'll crucify that flesh and those affections and lust, you will be more like Jesus by the end of this year. You'll sow more in life. More power will come in that area. Can you imagine if just we live it? I can't speak for every church in Michigan. Only this one. But we don't need everyone. We just need someone. Someone to stand as for me in my house. I'll serve the Lord. Hallelujah. This church will double when we bring one person. Can I make that a goal? Will you make it a goal? Amen. I mean, it was that there's inroads into people's lives. And you don't realize this. Even the ministries that operate, the Hugs ministry has allowed me to bring it up to a bunch of men and women to in a car club that they know nothing about this church but still want to give to the cause. But it opened up a door that I can pray in front of all of them at a dinner. And they themselves set up a little booth that if you brought gloves tonight, put them in here because they're going away. They build the place, they build the sign, they take the gloves, they purchase the gloves. Say amen. I mean, there's a witness going out there. I love it. Amen. I love the ministries here. I love when people reach out. You can do something for the Lord. Amen. I don't have a problem with that. This is the pastor that wants people to be empowered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, let's be about our Father's business. I want to see this church double. Just invite one person. You may have to invite two because one may not stay. Then I'll invite two. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of... Is that a promise? Yeah. Then even if you don't think you can do it, you can do it. I've fished before, and I'm not a very good fisherman. I am not. My wife baits my hook. I have a great thing. Do not ruin it for me. Honey, would you put the worm on for me? Oh, yeah, I'll do that for you. And when I catch it, I bring it over to her. She takes it off, puts another one on. So it's a great fishing day. And all the guys said, oh, nobody wants to get an amen on that part. It's a great fishing day, bless God. I'll catch like 15 and she hasn't caught any yet. And we'll have a contest at the end who caught the most fish. It's all fair, thank you, Jesus. I won. Amen. But when we catch a real big one at this time, we're both afraid to take it off. Because there's certain areas that you got to know. You just can't grab a fish anywhere. Some of them have those little spines on the back. And man, I remember one time they raked my hand all the way down. It was bleeding. I'm like, dude. The guy made me bleed there. Amen. So you got to scale them down. And sometimes, well, and they swallow the hook. I feel bad for them. But you know what I've noticed? That even a bad fisherman can still catch a fish. Even when you don't feel like you think you're adequate to do it, you can still do it. Come on. Let's get to the place where I'm on one end of the net and you're on the other end of the net, and all of a sudden there's more than we can handle. Why not that? Why not that we can call the church down the street that's preaching the gospel? Can you take 50 converts and disciple them? We got to start thinking bigger. Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, I have to break out some mason jars here, brother. You know what, brother? Next week, I'm going to have some mason jars up here. I'll have some mason jars. Amen? That's stretching me. How many want to have some victory? If you're taking notes, number one, to get some victory, we need a purpose to be godly and discipline ourselves for that purpose. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. We need to purpose at it. If you purpose it, you'll start to do it. Well, you're here today. I appreciate it. That's no condemnation for those who couldn't make it. I know sometimes it's hard to walk and things like this, but you purposed. You had to get up. You had to get in a cold car. You had to shovel it off. You had to go there. You had to dress warm, and here you are. Number two, we need to kill the sin at its root so it doesn't bear its deadly fruit. How many like the rhyme? Kill the sin at its root so you not bear the deadly fruit. Listen, you can knock off bad fruit from the tree, but listen to me. We need to kill it at its root so it doesn't grow into the tree. A lot of Christians just do this. They look at the outside. Well, that's bad. That's bad. That's bad. I'll knock that fruit off. When we should just say, Lord, I want to produce good fruit. And if there's just a bud in a certain area, don't feel bad for that. It'll produce. Maybe your love tank isn't exactly quite full, but thank God you're not what you used to be. Come on. Hopefully you have a little more joy than what you first did when you were unsaved. I do. The joy of the Lord's your what? Listen, if you don't have that, speak to that. Say, Satan, you're not going to bring me down. The joy of the Lord's my strength. Amen. I shared with the first service. I remember one time we were witness. My brother and I were out. And remember when you used to go out and make your own games up? Oh, that's novel. We were in this place and and all of a sudden we came across some apple trees. And the first tree we went up to, it was like apples, but there were those just nasty ones, crab apples. So me and my brother had an apple fight. That was fun. Okay. But as we went through these trees, there was a bunch of them. You know what? I got hungry. I wanted an apple. So I went to this tree, and there was a whole line of them, like an old orchard type thing. But farther down, I could tell that there were different trees over there. And then I went to like 10 different trees, and every one of them had crab apples. And they were small. They were distorted. There was bumps all over them. And I thought, maybe I can just bite one little corner of one. But I couldn't find one good apple. You know, that's what it's like in the flesh. We think we're producing something good, but you can't bite into it. And you know what? Offering that to the Lord, he can't bite into that either. Those trees ran their course. They were going to be cut down and used for firewood. The new trees were over there and they were producing. There are certain times in our life that branch may not be doing what it should anymore. And the Lord of your harvest will come along and he'll cut that off because it's not bearing any fruit so you can produce more. Are you with me? Before you were saved, you were bringing up into your roots everything that was killing you and others. So now we can't produce what was killing us and living in us. So those areas of the flesh we need to crucify so the tree of life that can flow through us can produce good fruit. It's what you sow, you reap. I mean, this principle is different now. Well, here's a big fact. I have flesh and I have spirit. If I feed the spirit man, I produce spirit fruit. If I sow it to the flesh man, it's fleshly fruit. Can you see both of them happening? How many want to not feed that one, feed what is good? And the fruit of the spirit is listed. Everything you want to be, everything that is Christ-like is in the fruit of the spirit. How many want more love? More joy? More patience? More long-suffering? How many want to have these things? That's the fruit of the Spirit. You can't manufacture that in the flesh. Now, worldly people can love, yes, but I'm talking about true divine love they cannot produce. You only can have the fleshly love. And you know, it's all based on what you feel, not what you possess. I possess something far greater than the world has. So the lust of the flesh is the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, anger, malice, jealousy, rage. How many knows we all produce those things? In fact, we're pretty good at producing those. Lord, then I want to crucify that area so I don't bring that over into my Christian life. I am not a perfect pastor yet, but thank God I serve a perfect God. Amen? Amen? As Christians, we're good at saying, you know what, I got all this stuff that shouldn't have. I'm going to knock all that off. So I'll look like I'm green and growing to the public, but God wants fruit. I share with the first service, it's amazing on every election, it's amazing how all the candidates become Christians and not Christians. It's not what you can just say, it's what you are. It's really the only place that we actually can look for something. Does your confession match your life? Is there fruit of what you said? Because not everyone who calls him Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Come on. We need to have deliverance. For victory, we need to cry out, God, deliverance in my life. And take every avenue to flee temptation. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, flee sexual immorality. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness. I share with the first service, here's how powerful a holy life is. When Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt, Potiphar bought Joseph off the slave block. God's grace was upon him. He promoted him in his own home, said, you're in charge of all my home. While Potiphar's away, his wife came up and said, you know what? You look awesome, dude. Come sleep with me. And it says it was a daily event where she tried to ensnare him. He kept saying, no, you belong to my master. No, you belong to who I work for. No, you belong to my employer. No. Then one day, she cornered him. She grabbed his coat and he fled out the room. When he came home, she says, this guy you brought in tried to rape me. And they stuck him in prison for being innocent. His purity brought him to prison. He swore by his own hurt. But do you know, he saved a generation by being pure. And then he got brought out of that area, sold in prison, and became second in charge of all of Egypt. You don't know what your purity will do for the next generation. I don't believe Joseph had an idea that him staying pure would cause him to be second in command and be in charge of all the grain in Egypt. Can you see why it was so important that he lived a pure life? You don't know what God's going to do. But he said, even if I have to go to prison for being pure, even if nobody believes me, God, you're my justice. You see what happened. It was the same way with Mary and Joseph. When Joseph said, hey, what's born of her, inside of her, is from the Holy Ghost, he said, I will not touch her until this child is given. He lived that life. We don't realize how powerful purity is, but it saves the next generation. Oh, you're hearing a word. The church needs to start looking at that. What you do in the flesh today matters tomorrow. Aren't you glad that Joseph was pure? Say he gave in and he slept with her and said, ah, forget this Jesus stuff. They sold me, where's God at anyways? But his relationship with God wasn't based on how he was feeling or what other people were doing. I know my God. Amen? If you'll ask David, one of David's greatest mistakes was with Bathsheba and counting Israel. Numbering them. God said, don't number the people. The number is not important. I'm with you. You could have one and I could defeat an army. When God says, don't do something, we need to go, I'm not going to do that, Lord. Because he knows tomorrow. Amen? And for David, when he killed Uriah the Hittite, here's what God said. The sword, David, will never leave your home. I will forgive you, but Absalom got killed. How many knows it was a reality? It happened in his own home. Let's look at our life and say, you know what? I want to be pure because you love God. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. Say amen. Amen. Now, previous to you being saved, we were all foolish. True? We didn't have these principles working in us, but now we're different. We know better. When Paul got saved, when he finally got his life right, he decided to live for God, and he did it all the rest of his days. Was he perfect? He said no. But to have victory, we need to set our minds on things of the Spirit and not the flesh. That's something we can all do in here. Romans 8:5, if you live according to the flesh, you set your mind on those things. But if you live according to the Spirit, you set your mind on those things. This morning, my wife and I, at 3 in the morning, put the Word of God on. We sowed the Word of God in us. In fact, there's a prayer in Psalm. Many of those things are prayers. They're songs unto God. It's amazing that if you look at some of those words, man, you can pray those today. David prayed for deliverance. He prayed for provision. He prayed that his enemies wouldn't triumph over him. Those are great prayers. Amen? The Word of God will even teach you how to pray. Are you enjoying this? Number 5, I didn't get a chance to go this far in the first service. We need to spend more time daily in the Word. Oh, that seems pretty spiritual. How many times have you heard it? But it's scriptural. Psalm 119:9 says this, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the Word of God. Your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I think that's pretty powerful. How did Jesus defeat Satan? It is written. When this is full of the Word, these will follow. This will follow. Whatever I mind, that's what I do, whether flesh or spirit. Now, how many of you ever had a weak moment and you fell? Okay, 5 of you. Well, you guys are awesome. How many have a weak moment and you fell? How many ever found that there's a trail that leads to your fall? And it's laced all the way with temptation. Have you ever had a chance where you could choose to do it or not do it? How many ever had that thought, don't do that. Turn that off. Go do this. I'll bless you. How many ever crossed over that dividing line and still did it? Then you felt miserable for it. And then you wish you didn't do it, and it felt like you went back 18 steps. Then you had to get 18 more this way to get back to where you were before. Wouldn't it have been easier to go, no? Why do we do it? Because we have flesh. Then, Lord, let me crucify that area. Because I'm going to be faced with temptation as long as I'm in this body. But thanks be to God who can give me the victory. Amen? Come on, when you're in that temptation, when's the last time you talk about, you know, I'm just going to love Jesus at this moment? Lord, I'm going to praise my way to victory at this moment. No, we go opposite of that. We skate on through that. No, how about put the stake? No, as for me and my house, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen? No, I want to get to the place where I'm not even tempted by this. I know I'm tempted by things. But Lord, I'm going to get victory in this area. Listen, some things you left in the rearview mirror, keep them there. You drove away from them, don't go back to them. Satan will try to bring everything back around to you. Keep going on. I love it when I recognize the traps of the enemy, because I know that shows me more that I'm saved. Yeah. Amen? It shows me that, hey, I'm not the same anymore. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the year for it. We have to go together as a church, not just a few people. All of us must go forward. I know you're holy in here. You can be more holy. To get victory, we need to keep the cross in our view at all times. It deepens our love for Christ, our disdain for sin, and our desire to glorify God. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now, by faith, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So as Jesus was crucified in that flesh, I'm reckoned there too. Flesh, you will not dominate here. Amen? From my roots that are down in the Spirit, I'm going to produce life. The fullness of it I won't see on this planet, but one day you'll like how you turn out. Hallelujah? But while I'm on this journey, you know what? I'm having a good journey. I'm going to have a good journey. And one day you'll wake up in glory. Hallelujah? That's why those who pass on, I'm sad they're gone, but bless God, they are so stinking happy. Can I say stinking happy? They're so happy. And can you imagine one day Jesus himself is going to come and greet you? You're going to meet the Father. How many think that's awesome? Great saints that are around. And what we have in common is Christ Jesus. We can't afford not to be fleshly. I can go so much deeper in this. Hear me on this. The throne is an active place. It's loud at the throne. It isn't this little golf clap Jesus stuff. There's thunders, there's lightnings, there's power. It resonates. You're talking about a God who can speak the universe into existence. He's a mighty God. And yet he capsulized it in flesh. And Jesus walked among us. Hallelujah. He's gentle and kind. He's meek and lowly. But let's not take the grace of God for granted. The grace of God has allowed you to be on the planet so you can serve him and be more like him. It should be our quest as Christians. You will never regret being godly, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And here's a big fact. Jake spoke it, and I totally believe it. One day, well done, good and faithful servant. How many believe that? Guess what you're going to be? Good and he won't lie either. When he says, depart from me, I never knew you, that will be a reality. You were never intimate with him in your lifetime. You had confession of it, but your heart was far from him. You had a form of godliness, but denied his power. How many knows that can be a reality? There's a counterfeit to true religion that's out there. And Satan wants people to live it. They like you to be religious, but not love the Jesus Christ. They'd like you to do certain things, but would not know him. We got to know him with it. Since I know him, I do good works. I don't do good works to think so I can know him. No, you know him, then you do good works. Everybody following this? Amen. Now I'll close with this. We need to walk each day with dependence on the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, I say, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means there's great dependence. I appreciate the teams going out. Well, you know what? It's different here in this fellowship. Here's why. We're not trusting in flesh to accomplish a spiritual goal. So in every event, in every outreach, in every life group, it's like this. Every time there's a worship team, it's depending on the Holy Spirit to bring forth the life. I am dependent upon the Holy Spirit. That means it's a daily thing. I need the Holy Spirit tomorrow on Monday. Amen? Just like I needed him today. It isn't a one-time shot. Hopefully this meal will last you all week. That's starvation. I'm going to feed my spirit. When you go to work, you're dependent on the Holy Spirit. When you're home, you're dependent on the Holy Spirit. He's able to make all grace abound. Amen? Well, we owe just a little less than 200,000. Here's a true fact. What if the Lord dropped $200,000 into your pocket by the end of the week? Would you think it would be for your own things? Or you prayed and asked God, could he get it through you if he got it to you? Then make that a mission. It's not too hard. Lord, you get it through me, Lord. People forget that if God could get it through you, he'd get it to you again. Now, some of you I shared it. I only share this for personal, like a testimony. Glory be to God. When I was finishing in my kitchen, I used to live in Redford at one time. I saved up some money, got some new cabinets. My kitchen was like, it needed it. I had that old countertops that were made of concrete. They had like looked like there were a little pattern on there. It was tile. It was nasty. It had to be changed. So when I bought this house, I knew that. And I blew out the whole kitchen, every bit of it, tore everything out. Every cabinet, every countertop, every piece of plumbing. So for months, I didn't have a kitchen. I saved up enough money, put floor down, got cabinets. Then I saved enough money to buy all the appliances. Wanted all new appliances. And just before I was going to buy them, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I want you to sow that money. I said, no. Lord, I need this for my appliances, and you know it. Now, there wasn't a ton of people that were dependent on me. I'm not talking about I had a family living at home. I mean, I understand. It's me. So I wrestled with it. And the Lord spoke a word to me. Will you be obedient or not? And when I heard that, I wrestled with that all night. Will I be obedient or not? I have the means. It isn't like I'm spending my rent money to bless the church. Cover your bills. God will give you enough. Say amen. So that next Sunday, I go, okay, Lord, I took all that money and I sowed it into a need. I was a little reluctant, but I knew God was going to bring it back. But I kind of wish I had great joy in that offering. I kind of wish I was hilariously giving in that offering. But I put it in there. He'll still accept it from a grump. Say amen. He loves a cheerful giver. He'll accept it from a grump. So I sewed it in there, and it wasn't very long after I got all that back plus. And I had to repent. I had to say, Lord, you're indebted to no man. Given it shall be what? If I loan to the Lord, how many knows that? It comes back. If I give to the poor, I loan to the Lord will repay. So I had to repent, and I did. When it all came back, and I remember looking at all new appliances in my kitchen, go, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I even doubted. I should have just said, Lord, I know that's you. It's in my means. It's not hurting somebody's life. Teach me your ways. Let's believe God for this to be paid for. We have almost 3.5+ acres yet that we haven't even touched back here. We have almost 5 acres in this property. I want to use all this for the glory of God. Amen? I would love to have another driveway here so you don't have to be like NASCAR to turn left into our driveway going north. Somebody say amen. Whoever designed that, oh, Jesus, help me. Even the police know. We know that intersection's tough. Because I brought it up to their attention. I go, why do we have to turn here? Why couldn't you even move that driveway over a little bit and we shared the light so at least we could have a turn lane? But I'd like to bring in another driveway over here. A bigger entrance here so you can unload this way. Parking over this way with a hallway back there. Say amen. And then one day as God blesses a new building behind it. Make this the chapel. Or we got a lot of land out there, amen? Can God do it? Then we never despise small beginnings. What am I about? Purity. Power, people. I've encapsulated it down this year. I want to live that. If you have something you're dealing with, any area, write it on a piece of paper that Sunday night. Lord, I'm dealing with this. Put it in there. Make it real. If it's something too great to speak that, I'll privately pray with you. But let's make it a public example. They consecrated themselves. They set their heart and God met them. How many want God to come down in our service? There's been 2 prophetic words given already for this fellowship. One of them is this. There's going to come a service where none of us are going to be able to minister because the glory of God is going to be so strong in our midst. The second one came, says there won't be enough room. People will be down the hallway waiting just to hear a word. Hallelujah. That's the overflow. Come on. How many can believe those things? Let's not let them slip. God's probably spoken something to you that he wants to bring to pass. Don't let it slip. Can you imagine how Joseph would have blown it if he slept with Potiphar's wife? Could you imagine how Jesus, it would have messed up the whole genealogy if Joseph, listen to me, did it because he spared a whole generation. They were alive because somebody was obedient. Could you imagine if Noah blew it? Man, crucial times. How about let's make it today modern? Can you imagine if you blow it? We need to put ourselves in the same vein. We have the same Holy Ghost and the same responsibility. I don't want to blow it these last days. Can you see the seriousness of it? I'll make it plain as I close. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to die. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to live. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to sow to the Spirit. Amen? crucify the flesh. Hallelujah. Just like you did today. You got up, you went, you did. Amen. Enjoy this morning. I appreciate you, church. I know it was a struggle getting together today, but I'm glad you're here. If you would lift your hands. Father, a blessing upon. And Holy Spirit, make known areas, God, that we need to work on. Lord, you said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So, Father, make it plain, Lord. And, Lord, in your love, delicately change us. Show us, Lord God. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we'll be more pure than ever. Lord, just not, Lord, just denying things, but truly the root receiving life from the Spirit. Lord, we choose to feed that spirit man and crucify that flesh. Father, I pray for special grace to be upon each one. Lord, those have different environments. Sometimes, Lord, it's like we're in camp right next to the enemy. God, great grace to be upon them. And Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare we're going to be more pure this year than ever. We're going to walk in more power than ever and reach more than ever in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, you hear us. Now, great blessing upon their day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you for today. These altars will be open if you need additional prayer. God bless you. Thank you so much.